You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show.
Hey, hey, guys. Being is for doing, and we are back for the season 9 premiere of Grey's Anatomy. First time ever on AfterBuzzTV.com. Hey, hey, I'm Jason J. Carter, one of your hosts. And across from me is the lovely
Jennifer Golden. And I just want to say happy birthday to
Thanks,
you, Jason.
Jen. Thank you, Jen. It's just us two tonight holding it down as we should. And wow, what a great premiere. Grey's Anatomy. Let's get into some of the history of Grey's. 9 seasons, first premiered back March 27, 2005, and since then it's been a powerhouse drama on ABC for so many seasons. So many wonderful things have blossomed and come to fruition from the show. Every season, dynamic storylines, wonderful music, great acting, great characters. It just gets better and better. Plus, I mean, Shonda Rhimes is a genius creating this. There isn't a show on TV like Grey's. And I think that's one of the big reasons why people watch it, is because it just satiates so many needs for, I guess, your viewing pleasure. You know, you have the drama, you have the intensity, you have the emotion, you have the comedic timing, the comedic moments. Just so many things go into Grey's Anatomy. And tonight's premiere was definitely one for the books. What do you think, Jen?
I think that it was, you know, kind of a slow start.
Yeah.
And we felt a little uncomfortable while watching the first, I don't know, maybe 15 to 20 minutes of the episode. And you and I looked at each other and we're like, there's something missing from this episode. Maybe it's heart. Maybe it's just
something.
Talking about the obvious, the plane crash from the last episode of the last season. And as it built up, you know, we sort of were like melting into our seats, just waiting for what was coming next.
The pieces were put back together.
Yeah.
Well, let's rewind. Let's go back to May 27, 2012, when the season finale of season 8 aired. Flight, that was the name of the episode. And when we left, our favorite Seattle Grace, Mercy West doctors were stranded in the middle of the wilderness with no one to save them. Meredith and Christina had injuries, but they were the most lucid. We lost Lexi Grace. She died. Mark had a severe hemothorax, which is an injury to your chest area. Derek had his hand practically mutilated almost.
Yeah.
And Arizona Robbins was incapacitated because she couldn't walk.
Correct.
Something happened to her leg. She broke her leg, and that's where we left off. There was no, that was it. You didn't know if they survived. What was going to happen?
We only knew who died, but we didn't know who lived and who had injuries that were, you know, lasting injuries or what was going to come. So, you know, obviously this whole episode from start to finish, we were waiting to see what was going on with every single person and trying to figure it out along the way, and it was sad because you could tell as they were unraveling that each person didn't want to talk about it and they were skipping around the issue and, you know, avoiding it like they do.
Sure.
Every tragedy that they've encountered, they have like avoided it completely, and it's post-traumatic stress, I'm sure.
For sure.
But we started the episode with, you know, how Derek was saying like he was hiding his hand and, you know, and saying that he could finally do surgery again. And it led us back into that feeling of like, tell us about what happened to them.
Well, that's always the case with Grey's, though. And one of the thing with her writers and Shonda Rhimes is that she sets you up. You have to remember, Grey's is always 22 episodes. And amongst those 22 episodes, there has to be enough to keep it buoyant, to make sure that we're still watching and giving us that signature classic Grey's, draw you in, break your heart, throw you out, have you like, what's going on? Meredith, really? But tonight, it almost felt like they did skip around a lot of they didn't get to the meat of it. It was, they danced around, oh, what happened? But you did see the effects of what happened to them on the plane in their emotional and personal lives. Okay, let's talk about the show. Christina went to Minnesota to Mayo Clinic. And as she said at the end of season 8, she was going to go to Mayo. They're now attendings. Meredith and the crew, they're attendings now. We've watched them go from being interns to fifth-year residents to now they're attendings at Seattle Grace Mercy West. It was really cool seeing them in the navy blue scrubs because you always saw them in the light blue scrubs.
Yep.
And you saw an authority with Meredith. But one of the things I don't like about Grey's that they kind of, it's kind of cliche, is that they always replay songs or phrases from their from the first season. You know, the bad news in the beginning, you know, about the appendectomy, the soul surgery that the interns get to do. It's cute. It's cool. It's like, all right, we get it. But it's just, I wish that they would move away from that and just get to the thick of it. And with the way the finale was of season 8, we needed to be drawn in immediately. There was no time to care about anything else.
I didn't care about anything else. I was not interested in the new people. And you know what, like you mentioned, something that Grey's does that's a little bit cliche is when they sort of over-explain something, like when that new girl, I forget her name because she clearly was not
She didn't have a name. She didn't give a name.
Great. Good. Don't care. She was talking to that other new person and trying to, you know, pass off her surgery on her or pass off giving the file to Meredith.
Whose new nickname is Medusa. Right. That's her new nickname.
She's a monster. With snakes in her hair because she's so mean to everyone and a monster. You know, she was saying, like, I will give you, you're the best, you're this and that, and don't think I'm just buttering you up because of this. Why are you telling us that you're not buttering her up because of this? Of course you are. Like, they over-explain things and call out the obvious when people don't really speak like that in real life.
And plus, the parallel was very Christina Meredith first episode, first season. You know, they meet, they're different. Christina's Asian, Meredith is all-American. And tonight, the girl's African-American, the other girl's all-American. It was just a different play on that scenario, which, fine. Thank God it only lasted about half a minute in the scene.
It was like their cutesy thing. I don't know why I put quotes.
Right.
But for those who can't see and are listening, I did air quotes.
But you did see a different dynamic, though, because normally at the beginning of the season, Bailey is kind of the most intense one. And we see a different energy from her now. She's happy now. She's rocking her new weave. You know, she's getting some of the regular from her hot, you know, anesthesiologist Dr. Charles.
Are they fiancés now?
We'll touch on that as a season, because that was up in the air.
Yeah.
He was supposed to go to UCLA and didn't.
Didn't they say that he flew in?
Right. But apparently he's supposed to come back. And speaking on the show, all summer long, we've been getting tips and insiders and spoilers as to what's going on. We knew that McSteamy was leaving the show. We didn't know how he was going to leave the show. But tonight, in the premiere, one of the things that stood out was that storyline. There was a lot of storylines going on. McSteamy was one of them. Eric Dane, Mark Sloan, for those who don't follow the colloquialisms or have cultivated a culture of Grey's Anatomy, wordisms, like to call them. McSteamy is Mark Sloan, also played by Eric Dane.
He will always be steamy to me.
Yeah, he will always be steamy. And that was very sad, and we'll touch on that in a bit. But back to tonight's episode as a whole, there's just so many things going on. Christina and Mayo Clinic, how she's in a place now that isn't as intense as Mercy West, Seattle Grace, and rightfully so. Guaranteed, Mayo Clinic has not had a shooting. Someone being hit by a bus. Every season, someone dies. There's so much death on Grey's Anatomy. And almost to the point, it's just like when you watch this show, you cannot help but feel like someone's dying yourself, because just the way they portray people dying on the show is just, I hate to say epic, but it's epic, but it's also just so tragic. But that's
so
the beauty.
Tragic.
That's the beauty of writing. Karev is still there. He, you know, got a fellowship to Hopkins, which we knew he was going to take at the end of season 8.
And he's supposed to leave at 5 o'clock or after 5 o'clock
after 5
to
o'clock.
Go to the airport to go to Hopkins.
On his fellowship. And tonight, it was bittersweet disappointment. And I'm a little happy with the show, but I felt like something, like you said, Jen, something was missing from this premiere.
Maybe it was heart, because the heart didn't come until the very end.
Right.
And you almost like were jerked into it.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't feel so natural, and it was just so rough around the edges in the beginning.
Yeah, it didn't draw you in. But again, we may be jumping the gun. That could be the magic of season 9. That could be exactly what they are setting us up for. Because you have to also remember, if they give away everything, then what do we have to look forward to? And Shonda writes the finale backwards, so where she has to, there's a method to her madness for sure. And as we saw throughout the show, no one's healed. people have issues that are probably going to come to the forefront. You remember there was Robbins, Gray, Yang, and Derek, who all were victims of this plane crash. We're going to see throughout the season how this plane crash has shaped their lives and what trials and tribulations it's going to put them through emotionally, because they're healed physically, but emotionally is where the real drama is going to unfold. And I just cannot wait to see it happen. Ooh, it's going to be great.
It is going to be great. I mean, as we saw in this episode, you know, where everybody is now, it was surprising. We were sort of guessing, you know, I was taking notes during it, like, okay, so now we've got these people dead, which is sad, but, you know, they've died. These people are moving away or have moved away, and then these people are staying, and they're staying because of what reason, you know?
Right.
So as we were watching the episode, though, those things changed. Those were moving parts.
Right.
We weren't even sure. And so now...
Where are they now? Well, let's touch on one of the major players. First of all, the people who didn't get on the plane was Karev and Torres. They stay behind, as well as Bailey. Those are people who did not, and Owen, who did not get on the plane for whatever reason in season.
And Avery. Did you say Avery?
Well, yeah, Avery as well, but fine. And Avery, who has hair, who grew hair over the summer, who grew a baby fro over the summer. He looks good. All the men look great this season, as well as the ladies. Where are they now? Let's start off with Karev. He stayed behind, and he's feeling guilty for not being on that plane. You can tell, and he's showing that he's okay by sleeping with a bunch of different new interns, as he always does every season. That's
so
his,
uncomfortable watching those right. scenes. I don't know what it is, but every scene in that room, the on-call room, right? It was just uncomfortable. From Bailey to Karev, when Callie was in there, it was uncomfortable scenes.
Right. Callie. She didn't get on the plane, but she's definitely feeling, as we'll find out later on in this episode, she's definitely feeling the backlash and just the full gamut of emotions as to what happened to her fiance, Arizona Robbins.
And people keep talking to her about it, or not talking to her about it, or acting strangely around her. And she's like, what? I'm fine.
But again, another Grey's Anatomy quote, I'm fine. And when they're not, clearly they're not right. fine. And also Mark, who at the end of season 8... had extensive injuries, on top of losing one of our most beloved characters, Alexi Gray, had a major hemothorax, which is an injury to your chest, your thoracic area of your body, your chest, heart, bleeding internally. So we come to find out that he is on life support, and they didn't get him back time enough to save him, but he's in a coma, and which was... Watching the whole show, and another thing, sorry, viewers, I hate to jump, but they kept having flashbacks to certain things, and I could have did without the flashbacks. They weren't as powerful. It wasn't like they had a flashback going back to him and Derek's wedding, Derek getting married to Addison. Mm-hmm. He was the best man. And it was like, okay, this is flashback to 1994, nearly almost 20 years ago. You guys still look the 40, mid-40s. Sorry. Gray's writing team. It didn't work.
It was weird because I get where they were going with it. Like, you were having a connection to them and seeing these moments and everybody's experience with Mark. But at the same time, because we weren't there for those moments, we never saw those moments right. happen. We didn't go back in
time couldn't connect.
To that.
We could right. not connect to them. And it was sad seeing Mark laying there, because Mark's this virile, strong. I mean, this is McSteamy. You know, cracking jokes.
He was one of my favorite characters.
Plastic surgeon. I mean,
now
just
father.
Amazing. Yes. And in a coma. And they're going to pull the plug on him.
I know. And to be honest, my mom actually called me from the East Coast, or sent me a text. And she's like, can you believe they did that to him? And I was like, oh, I watch it 3 hours later. You just told me what happened in the episode. Damn.
They pull the plug.
Yeah.
I'm extremely. It was just so many things. It was just so many things. And one of the things, though, I thought Eric Dane did his best acting in tonight's show.
Because he wasn't talking?
One, and because his flashbacks were genuine. And it was just, I felt for him, because it was like their best friend. You know, this is a major player in Grey's Anatomy. McSteamy, since premiering at the end of 2005, into 2006, he's been a staple on Grey's. I mean,
he went from unlikable to lovable.
To lovable.
Completely lovable.
His growth and his development as a character on the show was just epic. And, excuse me, sorry, I have hiccups. To see him just to die. You know, that was crazy. That was so. Let's talk about Meredith.
Okay, so she's Medusa, which is
kind of weird.
Kind of a weird choice for that. I don't know why Medusa. It's not like she's got crazy hair. Maybe right. If they called Christina Medusa, that would have made more sense. But calling Meredith that is strange. And to be honest, when Owen at the end was saying something to that intern.
No name. Nameless intern.
I think Meredith said her name when she picked her for the solo surgery. But I wasn't listening to
it. Right.
I was more concerned with if Meredith was nice or not and why she was picking her.
Why was Meredith being such a bitch?
Right. But then we find out that it's to teach everybody a lesson and they're supposed to screw up. It's a design to fail assignment. So Owen at the end, you know, he sees this girl in the hallway and she's crying and he's like, what's going on? And she's like, why is she so mean? And he's like, she's not mean. She's your attending. And she's like, no, but why is she specifically right. so mean?
Right.
Was it because of this crash that I've heard about and whatever? And he says, no, it's to teach you guys, you know, you're surgeons. If you can't get through the hard things, who's going to?
Right.
And I think that maybe that's why they show that whole part in the beginning of the episode that is so emotionless, to remind us that our surgeons. They go through all these things and they don't choose to go through them, but at the end of the day, they are surgeons and their job is to save lives.
Totally. And again, going back to Grey's cliches, again, everything she said was exactly what Burke said to George, and along the lines of, you know, we're picking you, cold, heartless, walk away. It was just, there's too many familiar things that I was glad to see.
It's like do-overs.
Right. I was glad to see, but I think if they really wanted to push the envelope and make this premiere even more grand than it was, do without that and evolve. Give us something that we haven't seen on Grey's or find a genius way to say the same things, but not make it so familiar.
Not make it so identical.
Right.
Because it almost seems like you're taking pieces of your script and just repurposing
them.
Lazy. But I get where they were going with that. It's like Rebirth, mm-hmm. or how the monologue in the beginning started with, like, you know, life goes on even if you don't.
Right.
So life went on. There were new interns and they were essentially doing the same antics. Life goes on. I get the point, but let's not drill it home.
And Meredith was very cold. We've seen Meredith in a myriad of different weak instances, a myriad of different emotions. We've seen so many different Merediths never so cold and never so foreign. I almost feel like I didn't know her, and I don't want to sound like a crazy Grey's fan, you know, like I know these people, but watching the seasons and watching the shows, you learn these characters. You can relate to, you know their personalities.
Right.
Even though they're fictional, you know their personalities. And tonight Meredith was so left, it was wrong. It was almost like she wasn't even there.
Well, you know, it felt like they were driving us toward finding out some tragedy that happened to her.
Right.
But it seems almost like her entire inner circle is still alive, so except for Mark, obviously, and Lexi. But her life seems almost intact because she doesn't have any injuries.
Right.
So made you feel like they were going to reveal that there's some reason she's so mean.
Right. But and there will be. I think, again, that's the beauty of – that's the setup.
Right. Her best friend moved.
Moved away, right.
And that's her livelihood. That's like her strength.
It was her person.
That's her person. And how cute that they use FaceTime on their iPads.
Skype.
Oh, my goodness. They're cute.
Shonda, good for you. Awesome. They tweeted last season. Now they Skype on an iPad. Way to get that product placement.
That makes me want to go home and use my iPad and call somebody.
Will you Skype me, Jen?
I will totally Skype you. I will sing happy birthday to you later tonight.
Thank you so much. Moving on, let's get to Christina Yang, who is one of my favorite characters on Grey's. Because here's the thing about Christina Yang, ladies and gentlemen. Even though she comes off as a cold, heartless bitch, she's really not. She's very emotional. It's a tough shell, but she's so soft underneath. It's like the Cadbury, those Cadbury eggs. No,
I love those.
I know. So bad for you, but so delicious. That's Christina Yang. So bad, but so delicious. Ha!
Is she delicious?
Yeah, I think she's sexy as hell.
Oh, okay.
She, though, went to Minneapolis, went to Mayo Clinic, and she's working at a hospital with people that don't get her because she's not... She's dark and twisty, as they say. She's dark and twisty. And these people are not dark and twisty. And I was irritated for her because everything... I know what it's like. She's so good at what she does, and she's so talented. And people mistake that for confidence, for cockiness, and arrogance. And she may be a little arrogant, but she's brilliant. And she's around people who were intimidated by that or didn't connect with her because she wasn't one of the shiny, happy people. And I'm a firm believer that you cannot always be shiny, happy all the time. And what she's learned from working at Seattle Grace Mercy West is that people die. Surgery is hardcore. You have to be a rock star in the sense that you have to be a robot. And over the seasons, we've heard people refer to Christina, you're a robot. That's you're a stone cold evil person. That's why you're going to be a brilliant surgeon. And that's why she is a brilliant surgeon. But we see now that it's not working in her favor.
No, her chief even sits her down and says, you know, there are no rock stars here. Just like you called her a rock star.
Right.
There are no egos here. The hospital is the rock star. The patients are the rock stars.
Right.
And to be honest, that's a great philosophy because at the end of the day, if you're going to the hospital as a patient, you want to be the rock star. You want to come out alive.
Right.
And, you know, to each his own, and everybody has their own philosophy or, you know, mission statement. It's just not one where she fits.
Right.
And she went to the place that she thought was the best, not knowing why they might be the best is because of their personalities or their beliefs.
Good point.
But that's also not necessarily the best place for her.
Right. It wasn't a good fit. And what I do give the writers of the show tonight kudos for was for us being able to see the parallel, the differences, like, wow, Christina, okay, you had it all wrong. Or maybe you didn't have it all wrong, but this is a new ball game. And it goes back to being humbled. I think she was humbled, but you did also see her be like, well, what do you mean? Like, it was foreign to her. It blew her mind that it wasn't about the surgeries. And because at Seattle Grace, everything was a competition. He did say, this is not a competition. Mm-hmm. But to her, everything was a competition. Season 8, she said, you know why I win? I win the soul surgeries. I win the trophies because I want to be good. Everything was a competition for her. That's what drove those Seattle Grace residents to be good. Now they're on the real world having to evolve and realize that it's not about how dope you are. It's not about how you handle a scalpel. It's about how you are as a person. And her chief said, go get some help. Go live your life. Go to the Mall of America and ride the roller coaster.
It's a mandatory rest.
Yes, go do this. And she... To her, telling Christina to do that is like telling her to jump off a bridge.
By the way, it's only been a month.
Yeah.
Because they said that they would disconnect Mark in 30 days.
Right.
And so it's been 30 days. Mind you, Christina didn't make it back, you know, in time because we found out through this episode that everybody had an issue with flying, which rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
She also couldn't come back to the hospital after the shooting. So it makes sense that she doesn't want to get on a plane, and nobody wants to get on a plane because that's where all this tragedy
right.
started.
They have PTSD, big time. Right. And I feel that there's always an issue. There's like after the shooting, that season was called the season of healing. I feel like they always have some kind of issue, so to speak. But tonight, all their issues felt real. Sure, of course, Columbine, the shooting at the Dark Knight. There's shootings that happens in everyday life. People die. That happens in everyday life. But we never focus on the aftermath. It's always the aftermath that is that much more traumatic than the actual event that caused it. Because that's not ongoing. That stops. You can get shot and healed, but it's reliving that. It's living your life. It's picking up the pieces. It's moving on. That's the struggle. That's the battle. And Grey's Anatomy does a great job of painting a picture of everyone's different struggle. And it's really hard because everyone's different.
Krev, for instance, who has, you know, remorse that he wasn't even on the plane and he feels guilty about it. And he turns his guilt into anger because that's all he knows how to do. He can't show emotion. So he fights instead. But for the people that were on the plane and weren't on the plane, they're still suffering through it.
Yeah. And that's a constant for Karev, because Karev, you already noticed that every season Karev is guilty of something. He was guilty of selling Meredith out for the clinical trial.
He's always so mean and angry.
Right.
But I could do without him.
He's one of my least favorite characters as well, but he
makes me uncomfortable. It gives me anxiety.
He does shine though. You do see instances of a soft side or
like him doing peds.
Exactly.
And by the way, now talking about peds, the new peds guy came in to Mercy West Seattle Grace, mm-hmm. and he's from Miami. I'm from Miami.
MIA.
And I love that he shows up in a suit, like cell phone in hand, about to close a deal on a house, which I don't know why that would be the case, but way to represent Miami. You know, and he said that something along the lines of, I've heard great things about you, Arizona Robbins, you know, she was great, making you think the whole time that, you know, she's dead. But, he says, first thing, I'm going to do away with your exchange program. And he's like, what? And he's like, yeah, we're going to move it. It's really great, but I don't have time for that. We're moving it to UCLA. And Karev's like, whatever, I'm leaving anyway. So clearly that struck a chord with him.
Right. And that's the way it always is. When Hopkins didn't call, or when he was expecting a call from Hopkins at the end of season 8, he was like, I don't care if they're going to call, whatever. He plays it off like he doesn't care, but clearly he does. And one of the things about the new doctor that I realized, that Arizona, when she first came to Pete at Seattle Grace Mercy West, she was like trying to take over things and make things different as well. You know, we're getting so-and-so. Bailey was working with the one child for years. She said, he's going to die. We seem to accept that. And it's like, Bailey was like, no, he's not going to die. And Arizona's all, they die. We need to move on. It's just, I think that's how they play these doctors. And then as the season goes on, you see.
You learn to like them.
Right. You learn to like them.
But change is always uncomfortable. So I think they highlight that in an extreme way whenever they bring in new characters.
Yeah.
And, you know, this guy, who knows how long he's going to be around.
For the rest of the show, though, Robbins was invisible, and we'll get to her. Let's talk about Callie. Callie, for some reason, is emotional about something, and we're thinking that maybe Robbins is dead. Maybe Robbins, because
she was in bad shape in the plane.
Right. All summer long, Shonda would hint on Twitter, blogs, interviews in Entertainment Weekly, Us Weekly, etc., that someone else is leaving the show. Someone else is going to die besides the people who were injured. We knew Eric Dane was leaving the show. We, like I said, we just didn't know how he was leaving the show, but she also said another character might be leaving the show as well. And it has been confirmed that Jessica Capshaw, who plays Arizona Robbins, is leaving the show. She is leaving the show. We don't know what episode, but her contract is over. She's also pregnant. So, you know, she was pregnant during the... I always want to say she was pregnant when the plane crashed. She was pregnant, but she was not pregnant on the show. But in real life, she was pregnant. So, but we do find that Callie is upset about something, and we don't know what it is. You know, we think, what, the Arizona die?
Especially since she's being replaced by a new peds doctor.
Right. And Callie's emotional and crying. And again, I feel like she feels guilty for not being on the plane as well. But Callie, that maybe that's another storyline that we'll get into, because we do find that Arizona lost her leg.
But did not die.
And at the end of season 8, she had massive injuries to her leg. She couldn't move. It was broken in 9 places. She lost her leg. And
I'm sure Callie also has, you know, the feeling not just about guilt for not being there, but that she's not working alongside Arizona anymore, that she has to, like, her person is home without a leg.
Right.
And it's just a reminder every day to not see her there, to see her at home, that her replacement is there now. You know?
Right. It's just all these things that are in your face.
All this change.
All this change in your face. And consequently, Callie cut off Arizona's leg, being the orthopedic surgeon. So that we find that out at the end of the show, which was a great time. It was probably one of the best moments of the season 9 finale of Grey's Anatomy.
We thought maybe she was like dreaming, or that was somebody else in the bed, but it was actually Arizona.
Right. It was weird. It was weird, but I was like, okay, great, thank you. Because if we didn't know what happened to Arizona, I felt like if she did die and throughout the course of this hour we didn't hear that she was dead, then I would have been let down. It's like, wait a minute, right. Come on now. We need to know.
I needed like a tiny little bow on each story.
Exactly.
And that kind of did it. Not that it was a pretty bow, but it was good to know what had happened.
Right. Owen, we really didn't touch on Owen a lot this episode. We didn't know what was going on with him and Christina. We didn't know if they had reconciled because, again, he cheated on her.
Right.
Christina told Owen at the end of season 8, I'm going to Mayo. Goodbye.
And he seemed like he was excited to hear that she was coming back for this, you know, event with Mark. But then when he gets on the plane, we're like,
where's he going?
Are you going to see Christina? Are you going to get her and bring her back? I thought maybe that was happening. And it did not happen that way at all.
No, at all. And again, a loophole, a kind of a miss on the writing. It was just like, you kind of had, if you're going to have, okay, I'm not a writer, ladies and gentlemen at home, but I do know what makes great television. And if you're going to have these stories, you got to have weight underneath them. You can't just have them just be filler. They have to be, especially on a dramatic show like Grey's, please keep them afloat and please keep these stories, these interchangeable parts, interchangeable, but make them fit, because sometimes they drop the ball on the storyline within the show. And I know they only have 42 minutes to show everything and satiate all of our appetites for Grey's, but tonight I felt like there were some holes of things that were just not working out. Moving on from Owen, let's get into Kepner. April Kepner, who at the end of season 8 was there was no plays for her at Seattle Grace because she failed her boards.
And she couldn't go anywhere else.
And no one wanted her. As we saw within the last three episodes of Grace, she would get call after call with rejection saying, you know, we need someone who passed their boards. You're not it.
And she had slept with Avery.
She lost her. She cashed in her V card to her brother. Go ahead. Go ahead, Kepner. Get that jungle fever. but we find out that Owen flies to, where is she from?
I don't know.
Ohio. In Ohio. Right?
I mean, how stereotypical was that? We see her there with a pig and, like, farming outfit. Just because you're from Ohio and maybe you have a farm doesn't mean you're, like, playing with a pig
right.
all day.
Playing with Babe or Charlotte's Web. I mean, I would have rather had Owen fly to Albuquerque, New Mexico, where she's working as an intern at a clinic, at a Planned Parenthood, and says, we need you back to Saddle Grace. That would have been more believable than the farm.
Or even in Ohio, wherever she's from. Yeah. Like, do something, like, not play with pigs.
It was just, and then all of a sudden you see Owen in a field in, like, a nice coat. Like, first of all, how'd you get to that field? Did you have to take a bus to a train to a truck to a tractor to get there? And it just wasn't believable. It was like, okay, no. Come on now.
It did show a moment, going back to Owen, of him evolving into Chief.
Yeah, I guess. Which I feel, honestly, the Chief needs to be the Chief.
Weber, I think so too.
Weber, Owen, stop. Owen, go be a trauma surgeon, as when you came on in season 7, all looking all hot and sexy, and be a trauma surgeon and call it a day.
Chief will always be Chief to me.
Right. Right.
But I forgot his name even during this episode. I wrote down notes. Chief.
Richard Weber.
Right.
Richard Weber. But we will find out more about Adele and Richard as the season rolls on, as I have confirmed from an inside source that their storyline is going to be one for the books, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know if I can handle that one. That one is too much for me.
But getting back to Meredith, you know, throughout the course of the show, she's going to fly, she's not going to fly. I just felt that Meredith was very disconnected this episode. And
like, she was troubled, but we didn't know why.
Right. It was just like, because normally she's witty. Normally she has, like, her comedic timing and so on. Mm-hmm. And she's just so into it.
She was very, like, vanilla.
Very vanilla. It was kind of crazy.
Or whiny, maybe. I mean, people have said over time that she's very whiny.
I never thought she was whiny.
I don't think so either. I think she's just nice and, like, has a big heart and has a lot of stuff she's dealt with.
Yeah.
And a crazy mom and crazy family, and Chief is her, like, surrogate dad. But I didn't feel connected to her at all in this episode.
Bailey. They're calling her Booty Bailey now because she's happy.
Booty Call Bailey. Booty Call BCB. Bailey.
Because she's getting some what's about time. I mean, fine. I can't really sexualize Bailey because she's just short. But I'm glad that she's happy now and she's getting some love, and that's good. But that's it. That was Bailey for the premiere.
Yeah. Like, how has her job changed at all? Or what's happened to her? And it's weird, though, to see the juxtaposition. Yes, I just used that word.
Good for you.
That was a $5 word.
Juxtaposition.
Hey. Okay.
Juxtaposition. Juxtaposition.
Wow. Work. Look at you. We're not doctors, but we're spelling it. Chance.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
33 today, and I can spell, damn it.
Good for you.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, it was just... What was I even saying?
You're talking about the juxtaposition of Bailey.
Oh, right. I stumped myself with my own word.
You stump her.
Bailey, it was great to see her happy, but I'm sorry. There's a time and a place. There's tragedy all amidst you, and you are there in an on-call room with your man. I just don't see that really happening that way, especially when she's so close to all of these people. These are her family. Like, these are the people that were there for her when she was going through her divorce and all of that.
Right.
It just doesn't seem
again a hole in the episode today. So let's fast forward. Sad to say, ladies and gentlemen, they pulled the plug on Sloan.
Wait, by the way, we didn't talk about Derek.
Oh well, Derek. Okay.
Also vanilla.
Okay. Well, and let's harken back to, first of all, he's a surgeon. His hand gets messed up for a little bit, but the same thing happened to Burke. And
it's a little bit of a do-over
in
again
in season 3, where Burke got shot. And he can use his hand. He had a tremor in his hand. But today, there was no tremor. Just McDreamy's hand just froze. He drops instruments in the middle of surgery. He went numb.
And they were setting it up, saying, you're not ready to do the surgery. And Meredith was like, I don't think you can do the surgery. This is not a surgery you can do. And the surgery was on Mark, wasn't it?
No.
No, it was just a different surgery. But they were saying, you're not ready to do this. You're not ready to do this. And he goes in, and within seconds, he's not ready to do it. But that's it.
Right. I felt like they should have given him some Viagra for his hand or some Cialis. I'm sure you're in a hospital. There's plenty to go around. I mean, all you gotta do is just, you know, walk into the counter, pop a Viagra. Other things will rise up too, but at least your hand will be firm and you could do your job. But again, I'll say it, and I say it time and time again, McDreamy is my least favorite character on the show.
Sad that he is. He was such a star, like, when the show first began.
But Grey's is about the females. The female actresses are the breakouts every season of Grey's Anatomy. They are the most powerful. They carry the show because it's written by females. So it's and I don't think it's a girl power. I don't think it's one of those shows that's very feminine. But Shonda and her team make sure that these women are powerful, that they are charismatic, and that each of them has something different and wonderful to bring to the table that makes it just work. And it just works.
They each have a different facet of, like, a woman's personality.
Exactly. I agree 100%. And we didn't also see anything about Zola, their baby, so I'm sure that's going to come.
And that was such a big deal last season.
Huge deal. But
we see at the end Derek sitting alone with her.
Right.
And we were wondering, where is Meredith?
Well, so McSteamy. Every time I say those words, I think of a quarter pounder with cheese. or chicken
Mick
and nugget.
Something.
So they pulled the plug on him. He dies. And what was really sad was Chief Weber talking about the process of...
That's when I finally teared up.
Yes,
I finally felt emotion. No, actually, that's not true. When Callie was crying in the on-call room is when I started to tear up, because just seeing her in so much pain and hiding the pain and breaking down, you can't help yourself from breaking down.
And
I'm
sorry. I didn't know whether to hug you or to tell you to suck it up. I was just like, do I have a Grey's moment with you or not?
Well, I'm not a surgeon, so I don't have to suck it up. I can cry my little heart out.
And Chief Weber just says, this is how it's going to go. And he says, I know your brain, you're not ready to hear this, but you need to hear it to wrap your brain.
Well, because they say, we're doctors, we know how this process goes. And he's like, I'm not saying it, you know, because you don't know. I'm saying it because this process allows you to process how this is going to happen. And every step of the way, you're catching up to the next step because it's so emotional.
And that was their friend. It's different when it's your friend or a family. You can, praise God that I've never had anyone super close to me pass away. But when it's someone that you love and you have an emotional connection to, it's not the same as, oh, well, this was a patient. Granted, he was in my reality for such a period of time, but it's their numbers, you know? They shared life experiences together. This is Mark Sloan.
Why they did the flashbacks.
They had a baby together. Right. They had Callie and Mark had a baby together. So Mark dies and it's sad, but that was the end of that. And it was weird. They could have built the whole episode around this.
It's so weird. And all you see is Derek and Callie with him.
Right.
And then everybody else in the waiting room, but no one really talking about him so much. They're talking about all the other things that are going on.
And not even really talking about the plane either. The only time you ever heard a real in-depth kind of monologue about the plane crash was the intern talking about how Meredith was mean in the plane. And Owen saying, yes, there was a plane crash at the end. Which honestly, fine. You could...
They're setting it up to have like serious traumatic issues, and I'm sure they're going to bring in the people that they bring in to talk to them
about. To shrink their heads.
Right, exactly. I don't know. It was a little bit weird. It's always a little bit weird. They deal with emotion sort of like around it, but most people do. It just feels so forced.
Right.
And they're highlighting the fact that people don't deal with emotions head on.
Sure.
They ignore it and they push it down and they do whatever they can to forget about something that's unforgettable. And I'm sure it will evolve.
Yeah,
It will erupt.
After Buzzers, if you want to do your Grey's Anatomy homework and pick up past seasons of Grey's Anatomy, go to iTunes. You can download all the shows there. And you can also rate us at AfterBuzz TV. We love to hear from you. We love your comments. We love your feedback. If we're missing out on any spicy or juicy tidbits of Grey's Anatomy that we're not touching on, let us know. Rate us. We like 5 stars. You can also download the iPhone and iPad app. It's 3 different iOS devices, I swear. Next, it'll be like the iFoot. Who knows? onto your device, you can get all your AfterBuzz podcasts in the palm of your hand instantly. And that's how we roll here at AfterBuzz TV. Thank you very much. Moving along to, let's get into just the end, because I feel like the whole culmination of this premiere was the end. So they're flying somewhere. Meredith,
everybody's in the airport all of a sudden.
Some random airport, which if they shoot this in Los Angeles, the airports that they're in, I'm like, I know LAX. I know Burbank. Those are not our airports. They're shooting them someplace else, because I'm like, that's not LAX.
Maybe they're in the one Santa Monica,
probably, or Long Beach. They could be, yeah, they
Long
could,
Beach,
Long Beach for sure. But they Meredith, Karev, and Owen are flying somewhere.
I was so confused why Meredith went. She said, "I'm going to see Christina at the airport." I thought she was using that as an excuse to get away from all the drama.
Well, that was it. That I think that was one of the reasons too.
But then she actually went to the airport. I thought she was just going to sit there and be in denial that Christina was going to get on the plane, but she was actually getting on a plane herself
to go see Christina because right. she can't be without her. She sees Karev, and Karev tells her, you know, they have an altercation, a confrontation in the airport.
And she's like, what, you weren't going to say goodbye to me? You've lived in my house? You have been so close to me for all this time? And he's like, what? I'm just leaving.
Right. And you could tell right there, Meredith seemed a little needy. You felt like, wow, she's clinging. She's clinging on to whatever
it's
she can.
Starting to happen.
And Karev says, I'm sorry. Like, I can't stay here and feel guilty about not getting on the plane. I have to go. And fast forward, Meredith gets on the plane and she can't do it. One of the things about Ellen Pompeo, who plays Meredith Grey, is one of the things that I can't get into her is when she tries to erupt and have a really heated scene. Her best acting is done when she's calm and cool. Like when she cries, it's not believable. When she screams and yells, it's not believable. But when she gives passionate advice, when she's in her element, when she's very calm and very collected, that's when she does her best acting. She's not an overreactor. None of these girls are overreactor actors. You know, they're not like where they can just lose it.
And oh, it's no. Believable. When Sandra Oh loses it, I get so uncomfortable.
Because it's like, she's so cool. You know, it's like, well, no. And when she cries, she's a great crier. Meredith is not
but
a great crier.
It's uncomfortable. It's like painful and just too much almost.
Yeah, well, it was too much watching her try to get off that plane and tell them to turn it around and, you know, all that stuff. That was like, what would have made that scene more believable is her getting up and saying, I can't do this. I can't do this. Let me get off this plane right now. I'm just walking off.
Was that an acting moment?
Yes. Thank you. I think I deserve an Emmy for that.
You do.
Emmy.
There you go.
Thank you. Oscar. And that would have been more believable than her having a meltdown and losing it because it just seemed like, okay, great. We knew that was going to happen. We knew that Meredith was going to, she couldn't go through it, whatever. But.
And she was a little judgy of Christina for not doing it, for not getting on a plane. And she was like, again, really?
But you saw that they all have that issue and that this has happened. They made it seem like it's happened many times before.
Yes, because they kept using the word again.
Again. So,
or maybe next time, because there's always another time.
Right. And that was where we got the hint that there's more to come. That the story is not done. So
she gets off the plane and she goes and sits at the bar and she's drinking shots and
tequila. You know, tequila's her drink.
She is a wild one. While her baby is at home with her husband who couldn't do surgery. but she's iPadding again. Or iPadding, like that's a verb. She's on her iPad, you know, with Christina doing FaceTime or Skype or whatever. And Christina's drinking from her home. And they're talking about the fact that she just couldn't do it. And maybe next time they'll do it. And then we see Karev.
See Karev, and Karev stays, and they hug. And you come to find out that they all need each other. That, again, I knew that was going to happen. They're all going to come back. There's just no way they can all stay away from each other. This show's not going to work.
But we were also talking about the fact that how are they going to shoot these people? Like, right when we saw Christina in Minnesota in the cold, we were like, well, how is this going to work with the storyline? Are they going to always show this new hospital now? I don't want to know about this new hospital. I want her to come back. And I'm so sure she will.
I think it's safe to say that this premiere was on a scale of 1 to 10, it was an 8, and that
really?
and that they just gave us enough because I feel like the season's going to have is going the thick of it's yet
it's
to
going
come.
To build.
It's going to build for sure. So let's get into predictions.
And now you're after Buzz TV predictions.
You know, I think I predict for season 9 of Grey's Anatomy that this will be probably their final season, and I predict that the storylines are going to get even more involved. I do think that Christina is going to come back to Seattle Grace Mercy West. I think everyone's going to stay. We're going to see some new characters for sure. Shonda did say that there will be new characters on the show this season, and it's going to be good. I predict there'll be more of the same. We're going to get more in the storyline. We're going to have more flashbacks of the plane, what actually happened.
Yeah, we
how
need
they got
to
back.
Know.
We have to. There's no
right.
way.
How are we not going to know how they actually got rescued? Because they were out there with, I don't know, dire.
With
know.
Nothing. The end. They're out there with nothing.
They couldn't signal. They couldn't do anything. Nothing was working. People were dying. People were getting injured. We need to know what happens. I predict, obviously, that they're going to reveal what happened.
There you go. There you go. Well, AfterBuzzers, there we have it. Season 9 premiere of Grey's Anatomy, one of the best shows on TV. Join us next Thursday as we rehash all the drama at Seattle Grace Mercy West. Until then, I'm Jason J. Carter. You can find me on Twitter at JJC Forever.
And I'm Jennifer Golden. You can find me at Jen the Jew.
Guys, see you next week. Thanks for watching.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
Oh, hell to the law! AfterBuzz TV.